Welcome to The Word at First Pres. The sermon you're about to hear is not part of a regular sermon series. It stands on its own and can be instructive to our Christian faith in its own way, even though it's not linked to other sermons. I hope you enjoy.
Our first scripture reading today is from Isaiah 58, 9 through 12. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you should be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Luke 13. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and he said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing with the wonderful things that he was doing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Rules. Some of us hear that word and we just cringe. Others of us hear that word and we take a deep breath, release it, and feel calm because we know everything is going to be okay because there are rules. Rules. Oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to follow all these rules. Why does everything have to be so rigid? Why do we have to do it this way? Why can't we do it that way? Who among us wasn't once a child of 10 to 15 years of age who thought, "I can't wait to grow up because then I won't have to follow any rules anymore," only to be sadly mistaken and find out that there are even more rules once you grow up? Of course, the Presbyterian Church is governed by a whole book of rules, our book of order that goes along with its companion. If you are really into parliamentary procedure, the companion would be Robert's Rules of Order. These are the kind of rules that Ken loves, seriously loves. Parliamentary procedure, rules that tell you what you can do and what you can't do when it comes to governing the church, rules that tell you how to run an efficient and straightforward meeting without wasting a lot of time. When Ken first became the stated clerk of Mid-Kentucky Presbytery, many years ago, probably close to 30 years ago now, he kept Robert's Rules of Order on his bedside table. He even took a test and became an official parliamentarian. For years, we got the parliamentarian's newsletter in our mailbox. That makes it rather surprising to me that he chose this title for the sermon, "When Rules Get in the Way," because he has always enjoyed rules. Now, I will stop picking on the poor guy. He is at home. He feels lousy. He's felt pretty lousy for 4 days. And he feels even worse because, first of all, here I am, and he's supposed to be here. But the really big thing that made him feel bad is that we were going to get all our children and much of our family together this weekend to have a goodbye party for our son, who's moving to Vermont. And obviously, COVID put an end to all of that. Quite honestly, Ken is a very good stated clerk, and one of the things that makes him so good at it is his ability to know when to follow the rules absolutely to the letter and when the rules allow a little room for bending. He can employ these rules with compassion and grace. That's why people love Ken Hockenberry. The Pharisees are also rule followers. The problem with the Pharisees is that they are legalistic in their following of rules. It's understandable, though, if you think about it, because they're leaders, and the job of a leader is to follow the rules and interpret the rules and make sure everyone understands why the rules must be followed. And the Pharisees take their job very seriously. They are very good at following the laws of the Torah. One of the most important laws is to keep the Sabbath day holy. And one of the ways that they do that in the Jewish culture is by not doing anything work-wise on the Sabbath. Even today, in Orthodox Jewish families, the women will cook the day before so that they do not have to cook on the Sabbath. They walk to their synagogue so as not to do the work of driving a car. It's really quite an interesting life and choice to see how they follow these rules. And in fact, we also adhere to the rules to keep the Sabbath day holy. For example, when I was growing up, many of you will remember blue laws. Blue laws kept the gas stations closed, the grocery stores closed, the malls closed, the restaurants closed, some of them. Nobody worked on Sunday. Ken was not allowed to mow his Nana's lawn on Sunday. If he couldn't do it on Saturday, well, then it just had to wait another week. When the blue laws were changed and stores and gas stations were opened, some of us were very upset. What's the world coming to? The rules are being disrupted. When neighbors started mowing their lawn on Sundays, some of us also got very angry, frowned, and shook our head at their disdain for the rules. We struggle today with rules for the church, rules for our society, because things are changing so rapidly. And many of these rules are unwritten, like the way you are supposed to dress for church. Yeah, just what I thought. Two ties in the whole congregation. I remember the day when you wouldn't enter the door of the sanctuary if you were a male without a shirt and tie and a jacket. But it's changed, and it's okay. Believe me, I'm glad to have you here, regardless of what you chose to wear. We had a woman in our church in Louisville. This was now about 25 years ago. She was the sweetest soul, June Priest. And she came up to Ken one day after church, and she said to Ken, I'd like to give some money so that family could buy some clothes for church. I think they must be very poor. Well, what she didn't know that Ken and I knew was that they owned a boat, a summer house, a regular house, and the mom just chose to wear jeans to church. Rules were changing June didn't know it. Most women wear slacks these days. Most women wear polo shirts or button-downs. Jackets are rarely seen in our doorway anymore. And then I've heard the worst thing possible. Some people drink coffee in church. Oh my gosh. I've heard that even one of your pastors has been seen drinking coffee in the sanctuary. What is the world coming to? What about the rules? Who's following the rules today? But the rules, again, primarily unwritten in this case, sometimes get in the way. They get in the way of who feels comfortable coming into the sanctuary, how we feel comfortable worshiping God, who is called to serve. There was a day in this very church when you had to be a member for X amount of years before you could be an elder or a deacon or a trustee. We don't follow that rule anymore. It used to be too, not only in this church, but in many churches, that one of the rules was that you started as a deacon, then you graduated to be a trustee, and then finally you could be an elder. And then somebody read the book along the way and it said, gifts are given to certain people for certain orders, like deacons, trustees, and elders. And we started doing away with some of those unwritten rules. Now, when we stop following the unwritten rules, there are some of us that get very, very worried, that we're quite sure things are going to fall apart at any moment. The pastor drinks her coffee in the sanctuary. The choir is seen with water bottles under their chairs. There's people who wear jeans. Oh my gosh. This is when our rules can get in the way. They are rules that are used to bar people from church or from service in the church. People who may have incredible gifts and talents for that service, regardless of how long they've been members. Maybe there's a member of the choir who needs that water bottle as a support because sometimes she gets lightheaded and needs to take a sip of water. Or maybe the pastor takes a medicine that leaves her mouth dry, and so she needs a little coffee or a little water throughout the service on Sunday morning. There are reasons, often, why some of these rules have had to be let go of. We don't want to use our rules to dominate and oppress. And that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue when he notices a woman, not very old, but very, very bent over. She's way in the back corner of the sanctuary because that's where the women are allowed to sit, and particularly the women who have some kind of ailment and are considered to be unclean. They really have to sit in the back. And Jesus sees her and he calls to her. Notice this is different from a lot of healing stories that we see in the Bible, that we read in the Bible, because Jesus calls to her. She doesn't try to fight through the crowd, grab his robe, touch his arm, call out to him. He sees her and he says, "Woman, woman, set your burdens down. You are set free from your ailment." And then he goes even a step further. He touches her. She's unclean, but Jesus touches her. And with his touch, he welcomes her as a daughter of Abraham into the full community worshiping God. And she recognizes this welcome, and she stands up straight and she starts to praise God. And wouldn't you think that everyone in the church would be so happy to see this happen that they would all be clapping their hands and praising God and maybe even looking a little Pentecostal by waving their hands in the arm and their arms in the air and shouting hallelujah. But not everybody is happy because this rule has been bent a little bit, the rule about work on the Sabbath day, the rule about touching unclean people. The leaders of the synagogue are really, really ticked off. You can't cure her. It's the Sabbath day. Jesus, what do you think you're doing? You can stand here and teach. You may not cure, heal, or otherwise involve people on the Sabbath day because that is work and that is wrong. Remember the laws. You learned them when you were a little boy, for heaven's sakes. Jesus is so quick. Have you ever walked away from an argument and thought to yourself, oh, I wish I would have said that? I don't think Jesus ever has a moment like that. Jesus seems to always know exactly the right comeback, and he delivers it without being demeaning or dehumanizing. Instead, he says to them, What are you guys talking about? Don't you untie your donkeys or your oxen on the Sabbath day and lead them to water? Isn't that at least as much work as I have just done? Why is that okay? And yet I'm supposed to leave this poor, hunched over woman even another day in her debilitating condition. And so the gathered congregation stops and thinks about it for a minute. And then most of them realize that Jesus is right. The rules are good until they get in the way of love and compassion. Rules are important. Speed limits are necessary so we don't run each other down. Red lights are important so we don't run into each other. Unless, of course, we're an ambulance, and then it's love and compassion, and we get to break the speed limit rule. Often, we, like the Pharisees, use rules to keep people in their places. Think about the rules around lunch counters and drinking fountains and bathrooms back in the 50s and the 60s. Think about some of the rules we still may employ today because they make us comfortable, because they keep other people exactly where we think they belong. Sometimes rules get in our way. They stop us from answering God's invitation to build the kingdom. Maybe they don't enslave others, but they enslave us. Our own rules can burden us, bend us over like the bent over woman, hold us back from engaging in the things we really want to do. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand because I have a feeling we would all have to raise our hand. But how many of us have a voice in our head that runs almost continually telling us what we can and cannot do? Oh no, better not do that. Oh, better not do that. Oh, you should do that. I am not suggesting that we do away with rules. We need rules. Children need a bedtime. So do parents. Children need to go to school. We need speed limits. We need rules and laws that hold us accountable to a certain standard of behavior. We also need to be sensitive to when the rules can get in the way. The woman in the synagogue had been bent over for 18 years. I know some of you have chronic pain. We actually, a few of us stood up here moaning about our chronic pain before church this morning. We have chronic pain. We would give anything to be healed, to not have to have that pain one more day. That was the situation that Jesus found this woman in. Day and night, pain is exhausting. It keeps you from doing the things you want to do, the things you love to do. The woman couldn't look up to see the sun in the sky, nor could she look up to see the stars in the sky. She couldn't meet a stranger eye to eye. She never knew what was on the top two shelves of the grocery store. She couldn't drive a car. She wasn't even welcome in most places because there was clearly something terribly wrong with her that she couldn't stand up straight, so that must make her unclean. So therefore, we will shun her and keep her away from places so that we don't get what she's got. There's a medical term for what this woman has, Shearman's disease. It's a forward curving of the spine. Today, there are treatment options. There were no treatment options for her. When Jesus sees her on that Sabbath morning, something pulls at him. Something calls at him from inside, and he summons her over, and he knows he can heal her. And he might give the law about work on the Sabbath day a passing glance, but the fundamental motivating force in him is love. It's compassion. And he says, I'm not going to wait, not one more minute. And I'm not going to make her wait, not one more minute. And so he doesn't think about the Pharisees that are watching him, waving their fingers at him. He doesn't think about sweet June, who thought the family wasn't dressed properly for church. He does what he has come into the world to do. He heals her. He offers her love and compassion. He gives her a name, daughter of Abraham, and he welcomes her into the community. He frees her on a day when the rules say she shouldn't be freed. He frees her to know the joy of the Lord. He frees her from the bondage of her crippled back. He frees her from the exclusion she experiences in society. And in the place of the rule, he offers love and compassion. Rules are important. They are critical to the ways in which we live together as human beings, as children of God. Rules can also get in the way of the love and compassion and grace that God desires for us. And that God desires for us to share with others. Rules both give us power and they can take power away. Rules can be the very things that keep us bent over so that we can't see the need in the other person. We can't see the sun in the morning or the stars at night. Jesus could have stood with the Pharisees and said to the woman, "Find me on Monday or Tuesday." Instead, Jesus stood with the bent-over woman, and he said, "I see you today. I will help you today. I will show you boundless mercy. I will show you the love of God today. You don't need to wait until tomorrow. What are the rules that may rob us and others of experiencing the full measure of God's grace? When might we consider letting go just a little to some of our shoulds and woulds, to some of the no's and the don'ts? Who is Jesus inviting me to be by operating within the rules but using love and compassion as a guide? And who is Jesus inviting you to be? How do we stretch or bend some of our rules so that we might experience more fully the abundant life of Jesus, and so that we might allow others to experience that more fully? Perhaps we give a little more time to our PADS ministry when it starts in the fall. We will be needing lots and lots of volunteers. We have over 100 people being released from homeless sites, from the hotels that they've been in since 2020. And they're going to be experiencing homelessness again for the first time in more than 2 years. They are going to be depending on the programs that our larger community has offered from October through April, different nights at different churches, except guess what? Only 3 churches are willing to open their doors. We are going to be full here on Tuesday nights, and we are going to need your help. And if you're willing to help more than one night a week, maybe they'll need your help somewhere else. How do we live within the structure of COVID-19 and all its accompanying fears and still offer love and compassion to those experiencing homelessness? Maybe PADS isn't your thing, but all of our gardens around our building, different sections, are kept by volunteers. And we're actually missing a volunteer in the Memorial Prayer Garden. Call Marty Crable. She'll be happy to put you to work. Maybe when you stand up a little straighter and realize that rules are filled with love and compassion, you'll want to shepherd a Sunday school class. Say yes to Katie Allen when she calls you. Maybe when we let go of some of the rules we hold on to, rules about how and why and when we will or won't do certain things, maybe when we let go of those rules so that we can stand a little straighter and help others to stand a little straighter and praise God. This story, as so many of our biblical stories, doesn't really matter whether there was truly a bent over woman in a sanctuary, in a temple on a Sunday morning. The story is told to teach us about the character of God. And that character of God is revealed to us by what Jesus does in this situation. In spite of the rules, Jesus offers love and compassion so that the woman can stand up straight and everyone can praise God, seeing what wonders God has wrought. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, please visit www.fpah.org. www.firstpresah.org for more information on service times, directions, and to learn more about the First Pres family of faith.